Please joyously rise in body or spirit for our processional hymn, Wake Now My Senses. The words are in your order of service.
Welcome, everyone, on this beautiful, beautiful spring afternoon as we celebrate the service of installation of Reverend Charlotte Lehman at the Bull Run Unitarian Universalists in Manassas, Virginia. We have come from near and far as family, friends, congregants, colleagues, and neighbors. As long as I have been a Unitarian Universalist, Brew has been my next-door neighbor. As a layperson, I attended Accotink Unitarian Universalist Church, the closest UU church to the north. And now as a minister, I am serving the UU Fellowship in Fredericksburg, the closest UU church to the south. So if you need to borrow some sugar or you need some eggs for a cake, please. We would love to have you. Now, I have been here many times for meetings and events, but none as special as this installation. In our tradition of settling ministers with congregations, this event is the culmination of a long process that started with an online dating service, proceeded to a first date, a week-long courtship, and then 7 months of shacking up, and finally, today, the marriage ceremony, when covenant vows are exchanged and everything becomes official. We are here as a beloved community in witness and participation to this beautiful union of Reverend Charlotte Lehman and Brew. By our loving presence, we have entered into sacred time and space. May our anxieties and fears find respite in this circle of compassion. May we let go of all our shoulds and our woulds and simply be present in the moment as one body and one spirit. Let us worship together.
Our congregation's mission calls upon us to provide a safe place for seeking and service. All of what we do is ministry. The lighting of this chalice symbolizes our commitment to doing ministry together, to joining hands and hearts and doing together what none of us can do alone. Combine together each of the four elements, water, connoted by the chalice container, earth in the form of fuel, fire brought forth through the alchemy of a struck match applied to the fuel, and air feeding the flame and giving it energy and life, become one potent symbol of our faith as Unitarian Universalists. And I got it on the first try.
Look at you. I was recently at a sadder occasion than this in a congregation, but they described the work of their church as an adventure of the spirit. And I thought, aren't all of our churches thus? There is nothing about this building or about all these people in robes that is a given or a certainty. It's something that we choose again and again to renew ourselves and to be inspired and to bring the light and the faith of Unitarian Universalism to the world in our particular way. It's always an adventure of the spirit. And what's so exciting about an installation is that it's like fresh and shiny, like a new baby. You and Charlotte together, recommitting to a new adventure together, an adventure that stands in the certainty of what has come in the past, an adventure that looks forward to the future. Who knows what will happen? All the possibilities are there. So blessings to you from the Unitarian Universalist Association on your next adventure. Thank you for being a part of our grand adventure of the spirit, one that's been going on for centuries and centuries and centuries, one that's new today because of you. So be it.
Would you please remain seated and join me in reciting a responsive reading found in your order of service. Ministry is All That We Do by Gordon McKeeman. Ministry is all that we do together. Ministry is that quality of being in community that affirms human dignity, beckons forth hidden possibilities, invites us into deeper, more constant, reverent relationships, and carries forward our heritage of hope and liberation. Ministry is what we do together as we celebrate times of our human spirit. Miracles of birth and life, wonders of devotion and sacrifice.
Ministry is what we do together with one another.
In terror and torment, in grief, in misery and pain, enabling us in the presence of death to say yes to life. And yet are reassured by lostness found, fragments reunited, wounds healed, and joys shared. Now would you please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn number 346. Come sing a song with me.
Oh,
Before I begin our portion of this celebration, she's my boss. I need for the children and youth of our congregation to come forward with us. We are so blessed to be welcoming a minister that asked, and dare I say, insisted, that the children and youth play a role in this ritual. Because Reverend Charlotte recognizes that standing here are not just the future. They are the present and an important part of our faith community. Young people have the right to ask things of our great liberal religious tradition. They have the right to contribute their gifts to better our community. If we join together in this effort, learning together, worshiping together, sharing fellowship together, young people will learn what it means to be a part of this faith. As we install Reverend Charlotte into the ministry of our congregation, our children and youth have been invited to tell us what they need and want from this church, from their minister, and also what they hope to offer to our common task of creating a better world. As a bit of logistics, as I read the charge from the children, there are places where responses are expected. If you agree with the statements, the response shall be, "We will." And if you're a singular person, I will. Reverend Charlotte, the children and youth of Brew are so happy to have you join us. As we begin our journey together, we have some promises we wish to make you. We will communicate with you, both by listening and asking you questions. Lots and lots of questions. We will respect you. Trust you. We will be respectful of others and be responsible for our own actions. We will seek you out to say hello. We will invite you to our activities. We will share all of our talents with you. We will make art for you, do experiments with you, explore the outdoors, and play games with you. We will also give you quiet time. We will give you donuts when you visit our class. The caveat is that is specific to the 8 to 10-year-old classroom. Yeah. We will care for you when you are sick. We will celebrate your birthday and help with any technology needs. We will share in caring for our peers. We will maintain an individual relationship with you and not compare you with other ministers we may know. We promise to support you in your many roles. Children, youth, do you promise to keep these wishes in your hearts and convey them in your actions?
We will.
Reverend Charlotte, will you accept our goodwill and our promises?
I know I'm supposed to say I will. I'm going to say absolutely.
It's okay. Congregation, will you support and encourage our children and youth in these efforts?
Yeah.
Reverend Charlotte, we, the children and youth, have need for your ministry. So we ask that as you accept our promises, that you make us some promises as well. We need you to be understanding and responsible. We need you to be on our list of trusted adults. We need you to listen to our ideas without judgment. We need you to be available to us emotionally and spiritually. We need you to help us get to know you. We need you to be a teacher and take time for discussions because we will have questions. Lots and lots of questions. We need you to help us become teachers. We need you to help us take care of ourselves. We need you to help us discover our values and our identities. We need you to not talk down to us, rather, meet us as individuals. We need you to visit our classrooms, enjoy nature with us, and share music together. We need you to love us and our families. We need you to give us encouragement and advice. And we need you to ensure there is always hot chocolate at coffee hour. We hope that you share the joys and sorrows of our journey together. Reverend Charlotte, will you do your best to consider these things in your ministry?
I will, absolutely.
Congregation, will you also include our children and youth in our shared ministry? So as a symbol of the covenant that we are making today, we have a special gift. Ooh. I'll explain when it... Okay, so the ribbons represent that relationships are woven together piece by piece and become stronger and more colorful as time goes by. And inspired by a recent service of yours on the spirituality of imperfection, we have woven in this gold piece. Mm-hmm. For surely things will get broken from time to time, but we will repair it and improve it with unique solutions together.
I'm so happy to be with you all here today for this celebration, this symbolic solidifying of this relationship, this call, this joining of paths that is ministry. As you all install my dear friend, my seminary co-conspirator, my ministerial colleague, Charlotte, as your settled minister. The path from discerning a call to ministry to the settlement itself in a congregation is not a straight path, and it's not a stroll. It can be long, and it can be difficult, and it involves many significant costs, financial, emotional, and spiritual. No one comes through the process to get where Charlotte is today, being installed as your minister in this special relationship of ministry without deep personal sacrifice. On the purely financial side, it is normal, or at least not unusual, for Unitarian Universalist ministers to come to their congregation carrying debt
from the many years of preparation for ministry. It's not unusual for ministers to enter their settlement with $75,000, $100,000 in educational debt. Seminary, after all, is graduate school in a private institution. This debt accrues because the cost of preparing for ministry in our tradition is not structured as the cost of our movement of preparing and maintaining professional ministry. Rather, it is organized as the individual's cost, the minister's dues that must be paid, and here I will use dreaded air quotes, dues that must be paid to get ahead. Yet, for Unitarian Universalist ministers, the fulfillment of the call in a settlement is often met with salary and benefits that cannot match what the minister passed up or gave up with a profession in a different kind of career in another sector. So the minister enters ministry having sacrificed, often having gone deep in debt, to enter a noble, loving, spiritually significant profession and calling, where they are deeply grounded and where they truly belong. This is not a matter of judgment. It's simply a reality, and it may sound dramatic, but it's no exaggeration. It is a reality that means that our ministers live with a vulnerability that deserves denomination-wide commitment to ministers and ministry. And so the 1988 General Assembly, at their meeting in Palm Springs, California, established the Living Tradition Fund and requested that ordination and installation services held in member societies include an offering for the fund. Over the years, that request has become a tradition among our congregations. Revenues for the fund come from individual gifts, offerings at installations such as this, ordinations, other milestone occasions, and from offerings received during ministry days, the annual meeting of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, and the service of the Living Tradition at General Assembly each year. Our Living Tradition Fund provides three types of supports for ministry. One, need-based scholarships for theological students who have completed a full year of theological education. Such scholarships reduce the final debt load ministers enter their pulpits carrying, making it more possible for the minister to follow a call, for example, that they might not otherwise be able to afford to answer. Such scholarships also help our movement lessen the impact of classism that requires large financial inputs as a major qualifying factor for ministry. Two, new minister assistance to reduce the burden of high educational debt and repayment. This assistance helps distribute the debt taken on as a personal responsibility back to the movement for whose primary benefit the minister became indebted. And three, emergency assistance grants to seminarians, ministers, religious professionals, other congregational staff, retired ministers, and their loved ones. Minister colleagues who have had a catastrophic medical emergency in their family, for example, will be helped through times of crisis with money from this fund, money, including money that we collect here today. Your generosity helps to strengthen and support our professional ministry by keeping this important resource available. And so I ask you to give. If you don't already have your wallet out or your checkbook out, now's the time. Get it out. I ask you to give right now to a fund that makes a life-changing difference for ministers who serve or have served our congregations. I urge you to give as generously as you can, more generously than you planned to give, to enable the Living Tradition Fund to help as many as it can, to help remind our ministers that they are not forgotten. Because together, right now, we will do what we can do. And if you are writing a check for this offering today, please make the check out to UUA, and in the memo line, write Charlotte Lehman Installation, and it will go right where it needs to go. We now gratefully receive your generous offering.
Thank you. Just Hang Out and Be Religious, by Richard S. Gilbert. When ministers are charged with spiritually nurturing congregations, congregations should be charged as well to the mutual ministry. Today, I am eloquent in the pulpit and brilliant in the church school, and you are spiritually intoxicated with my wisdom. Next week, I stumble and bumble through my uncertainty and need your forgiveness. Today, I am a great rock of comfort in a weary land. Tomorrow, I am blown about as sands of the desert, and I need the oasis of your strength. Today, I dazzle you with my perspicacity. Tomorrow, I forget our appointment. Blessed are they who minister, and blessed are they who are ministered to. Blessed be the task of the minister. Blessed be the task of the congregation, for ultimately, they are one and the same.
Dear friends, members of Bull Run UU, honored guest colleagues, and Reverend Charlotte, it is a pleasure to be with you today on this first Saturday of spring 2019. It is a very promising day, a day that we gather to hold up and celebrate and witness the joining of the Bull Run Unitarian Universalists with their new settled minister, Charlotte. I bring greetings from the Unitarian Universalist Society of Bangor, Maine, where I have the pleasure of serving as a minister. This is a congregation that Reverend Charlotte once helped go through a process of consolidation with the Unitarian and the Universalist congregations coming together almost 25 years ago. I also bring greetings from the Northern Maine UU Ministers Cluster. Many of the members of that cluster know Charlotte, have known her for many years, and they are very excited to hear the news of her finding a new home down here at Bull Run. Though we miss her, and since it's still very much winter up in Maine, maybe we will come down to visit you around this time of year. Today we celebrate the time-honored tradition of our liberal religious movement, the ritual of installing a new minister. This is a tradition that has its origin in our Puritan and congregational roots, roots that recognize the importance of freedom in spiritual and religious thought, and the importance of congregations being able to choose and call their own ministers, and the freedom of ministers to choose the congregations that they serve. I've always wondered what the search process was like back in the days when Olympia Brown and William Ellery Channing were wandering this earth. I am guessing that it is probably very different in some ways, and in other ways still very much the same. This effort of congregations searching for ministers and ministers searching for congregations is, as we mentioned earlier, very much like courting. Back in the old days, it was probably about getting to know a minister or a congregation by word of mouth, maybe making a visit to a neighboring town or two, and then the congregation would vote and send a letter by, can you believe it, snail mail, and the acceptance would come back, return post. Times have changed, but the ritual continues. Today, it's a bit more like online dating. The congregation and minister put a great deal of effort and reflection into what they want their ministries to be. Then they create profiles and put them online through the UUA Transition Matchmaking website. When things go well, both the congregation and minister find worthy candidates, and then they have a couple online interviews, and finally, hopefully, find somebody who is very suited to their call to ministry as well as the other party's call to ministry. It sounds kind of weird and funny and awkward, and yet it is true. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of effort, and a lot of soul searching goes into that ministerial search process. And like a newly formed relationship, there is also a lot of meaningful conversations and discoveries that happen between minister and congregation as they engage in the work of ministry together, each with their own assumptions, styles, experiences, perspectives, and histories. While it might seem obvious, I believe that it is important for us to just take a moment and take a deep breath together and recognize that today is a significant milestone in the history of this congregation and in the career of a minister. So let's take a breath together. It is a product of a lot of effort and thoughtfulness. Let's just take a moment to sit with the energy that you're feeling right now in this room. See how this moment feels. Try to hold on to it, to remember. I don't know about you, but something very exciting and special is in the air. It feels like the joy of spring. It feels like the start of the beginning of something completely new. Remember this feeling so that you can return to it again as the days of future pass, as you grow and move together through your seasons of ministry. Today, as we formalize this connection between congregation and minister through the ritual of installation, we hold up and name the commitments that each are making to the other, in some ways almost like wedding vows, but not quite the same. So as minister and congregation prepare to make their commitments to one another, I think it is altogether appropriate to reflect on the interaction between minister and congregation and their wonderful opportunities to hang out and be religious together. Ministry is a primary function of any church, and it's something that we practice through all of our activities. Worship, faith development, rites of passage, religious education, music, hospitality, social justice, and yeah, even working on the building and creating budgets are a ministry of their own. They are a spiritual practice. This is also a practice and an exercise of walking together in love. I say this because at its most basic form, ministry is about serving others. It's about tending to the needs of the individual as well as the needs of the congregation. It is a revolutionary act of serving others while also serving the greater whole. It is an act of serving something that exceeds our own self-interests. It is a quality of intention that we need more of in the world. Ministry is also an act that requires thoughtfulness, persistence, kindness, and compassion. If we are able to hold those things together, then wise and useful transformations will just magically happen. Without these essential elements, we will become reflections of the prevailing culture that carry with it a great deal of suffering and a great deal of dysfunction. Ministry is an act that calls us into being in healthy, nurturing relationships with ourselves and with the interconnected web of which we are all a part. It is, in many ways, the ultimate act of faith. It opens us up to new possibilities along the way and holds us up when we are hurt or suffering. Creating this sacred space is what ministry is all about. And it is all about sharing in that creative, nurturing process together, because no one person is powerful enough, no one person is enlightened enough, no one person has the endurance or the presence to be all things to all people and still be true to themselves. Ministry is all that we do together, and it is something that can take many forms. In my experience, ministry is best done when leadership is shared between minister and congregation. There is no exact formula because each congregation and each minister is different. The power and success lie in good communications, interpersonal skills, and the ongoing process of being open, honest, and intentional in our dialogues. It also works well when all the parties risk intimacy and vulnerability within a flexible framework of healthy boundaries. It is not easy. It is something that takes time. It means learning from inconvenient growth opportunities when they present themselves, and they usually do present themselves when we are most uncomfortable and unwilling to deal with them. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. Sometimes they stem from an honest moment of disagreement, and sometimes they come from moments when there is miscommunication or assumptions that happen. A lot of times the work that we do in congregations is very frail, and it just takes one little thing to throw us off. It kind of reminds me of one of my favorite stories about being in a new professional relationship. It's a story about a minister who was first called to a congregation not so many years ago. The president of the congregation thought it would be a good idea to have the minister, the treasurer, and the president all get together and spend some time getting to know each other. The president, up in Maine, was an avid fisherwoman, and so she invites the other two to go out on a boat fishing. The three start off really early in the morning. They're all chatting, catching fish, and getting along just famously. All of a sudden, the president of the congregation needs to answer nature's call. So she does what many presidents in our UU congregations do. She stands up and she walks across the water, finds some bushes along the shore, takes care of business, and then walks back out to the boat and sits back down. Because everyone is trying to be so polite, nothing is said. Finally, the treasurer needs to answer nature's call too. So they stand up and they get out of the boat and they walk across the water. The treasurer disappears into the bushes for a few moments and comes out feeling very relieved. The treasurer then walks back across the water, sits down in the boat. Finally, the new minister, who drank a thermos and a half of coffee that morning, was about ready to burst. The new minister was in awe of the skills of this president and treasurer, but finally realized that immediate action was required. The minister figured that, hey, if the president and the treasurer can walk across the water, so can I. I don't know what it is about this special place, but I guess I just need to have some faith, and I'll be able to do it too. So the minister stands up, takes a step out of the boat, and immediately falls into the water and is thrashing all around. Instantly, the president and the treasurer spring into action as they pull the soaking minister back onto the boat. And as they are doing so, the treasurer says to the president, "You know, perhaps we should have told the minister where the stones were." Yeah. Well, trust is important. So are apologies. So is a willingness to learn from those awkward moments and a desire to reflect and let go and return to being in healthy relationships. There might be hurt feelings. There might be awkward moments. And if true transformation is to happen, then there also must be a willingness to sit with tension, to hold gently, hold each other gently accountable, and there must be a willingness to return again to kindness and love. In my experience, this happens best when both the minister and the congregation take responsibility for the health of running the congregation. That is what I mean when I talk about shared ministry. While there is a contract and an agreement of what specific roles that the minister and the congregation play in the general operations, shared ministry means that everyone is committed to making the congregation run smoothly and live up to its ministries in an open and inclusive way. Often, for instance, the minister is expected to preach a certain amount of Sundays per month, and the congregation is made stronger when they share in the ownership of that worship, too, by leading readings, sharing stories, singing songs in the choir, and showing up when the topic of the sermon isn't exactly to their liking. The congregation might be responsible for running the stewardship campaign, but the drive is going to be much stronger if they consult with the minister and ask for some perspective and some ways to maybe frame the message. A religious education program might be led by a really talented religious educator, but it'll only thrive if there are committed volunteers, if there are children, and there are creative ideas that are shared. Now, there may be some things that are better for the minister or for the congregation to do. For instance, a minister might be a best person to be able to have some of those very intimate moments of conversation and pastoral care. But even so, in my experience, a congregation can do a great deal in caring for others in the congregation with a little bit of training and reflection. Skilled members of a congregation can keep their ears and eyes open and check in with people. This is a tremendous support that makes the minister's work of caring much more effective, and it makes the whole congregation more caring. Ministry is all that we do together. As a congregation, Bull Run has its own style of ministry that seems to be very successful. I have to say that it is exciting to come and speak at a congregation that is younger than me. And I have to say we need more of that in our movement. Over the years, Bull Run has been persistent and has grown both in spirit and in numbers. As you realize the dream that was hatched out of a conversation from two women back in 1981, from that time you have slowly and deliberately grown, added members and staff, and found creative solutions to many of the hurdles that you have faced by moving, finding a place to meet, by purchasing property, moving your geographic location, moving into the process of having two services, and finally finding a building that would suit your needs. As a congregation, you have had your own set of challenges, and you have moved through those moments of adversity and have learned something in the process, even when those things were challenging and ouchy. As I reviewed some of the information from your community's historical timeline, I noticed that you also have many other accomplishments, like being recognized by the UUA as a breakthrough congregation in 2008. You've continued to grow as a congregation, and you have found meaningful ways to share your liberal religious faith with the world through your work in social justice. That is robust and meaningful history of ministry. It is something that you should be very, very proud of. At dinner last night, Reverend Charlotte and I reminisced and figured out that the first time that we probably met each other was back in about 2010 at Meadville Lombard Theological School. When I first met Charlotte, I knew that she was going to be a great minister. I had some very awkward moments in that particular year that we got together, and Charlotte was there for me at some very, very crucial moments when it really mattered. Reverend Charlotte has also been on a very long journey of transformation, persistence, and growth herself. Through her thoughtfulness, her willingness to engage in the hard work of self-reflection, confronting the challenges of adversity with deep and thoughtful patience, all that work has made her into somebody who is wise from earned experience. This has formed Charlotte into the wonderful minister and the person that she has become today. Since last August, Bull Run and Reverend Charlotte have been getting to know each other and have been learning from one another about the different styles and attitudes that they have towards ministry. Some of these moments have been very easy, and some of them maybe a little less so. But the importance is that by engaging in this work together, they are starting to gel and learn from each other in a way that is true to themselves and also true to the mission of this congregation, which brings me back to love. I am not talking about that passionate kind of love, that eros kind of love that we talk about at Valentine's Day every year. I am talking about a deeper, more powerful love, that agape kind of love, of profound admiration, support, and acceptance. This is the kind of love that shows concern and care for the other. It is that meta-loving kindness kind of love that wishes for the other that which one also needs for oneself. It reminds me of perhaps one of the greatest lessons that I have learned about being a minister. It's a lesson that I did not learn in seminary. It is not a lesson that I learned in a textbook or in coursework. It is not a competency that was required of the ministerial fellowship committee. It was a lesson that was taught to me by one of my mentors, my internship supervisor, the Reverend Judith Wright, a couple of years after I was out in the world serving my first congregation in northern New Hampshire. My first 2 years of ministry were rough. I was fresh out of theological school and starting all this stuff anew. In the first 2 years, I had to deal with several very challenging, difficult situations, and I was feeling really, really run down. Reverend Judith checked in with me every once in a while to see how I was doing and offer her support and guidance. I remember one conversation that we had as I was completing my second year of service in that congregation. We had gone through a lot of work together, and I was feeling rather burned out. I started to give her a litany of all the problems that I was working on in the congregation, all the things that needed to be done. Reverend Judith, who is also a Tibetan Buddhist, sat there and was very quiet and listened very carefully. Finally, when I took a breath and there was a pause, she said, "Yes, I hear all of that. But do you love them?" I thought it was a strange question to ask in that moment. I replied, "Well, they're wonderful people, and they seem to be very dedicated to our faith. So I think they are pretty good people." Then I went on to talk about all the other things that I was finding challenging in the congregation. I went on for another few minutes. Again, there was a pause, and she said, "Yeah, I hear all that. But do you love them?" This pattern occurred several times. Finally, I said to her, "Yeah, I like them a lot, But in all honesty, I struggled a lot to say that I love them. The question felt a little judgmental and unfair. The congregation that I was serving had a lot of challenges, and I was facing them head on because I wanted them to be successful and I wanted them to grow. I thought I was doing great because I was honestly able to say that despite all these challenges, I still liked them. Wasn't that enough? The conversation really struck me, and it has informed my sense of ministry and shared ministry ever since. Fast forward 2 years. As I stood before that same congregation in Laconia, New Hampshire, delivering my farewell sermon, I shared with them all the wonderful stories of learning and growth that we had experienced together over my 4 years of ministry at that congregation. I also told them the story of the conversation that I had with my mentor 2 years before. And then I said how in the last 2 years of being together with them, I could now honestly and truly say that I loved them. And that made all the difference. It has been said that love is the doctrine of our congregations, but love is not a noun, it's a verb. It's a process of deep connection unfolding. It is an essential process that we need if we want to grow and to thrive. It is a means that happens when we promise to care for one another and share in the work of being together in beloved community. It is a willingness to take risks and to let each other know where the stones are. It is also a commitment to supporting and caring each other so that we can all bring our best selves to the altar of service in our congregations on a world that is yearning for us to show up. When we love each other, we set achievable goals. When we care for one another, we hold gently in the moments when things don't go as planned. When we show up with love, we hold boundaries and we encourage one another in self-care so that no one gets burned out. And it is an opportunity for us to recognize what our limits are and to avoid the blame and shame dynamics that often come up when there is conflict. This, in my mind, is what it means to be to lead a spiritual life of ministry and service. So, as you embark on all that you hope and long to be, in a meaningful journey of mutual ministry together, may you remember this day. Remember the excitement and the powerful energy of something powerful and amazing that is waiting to be born as you start in this journey together. Remember, blessed are they who minister and who are ministered to, for ultimately they are one and the same. May you grow stronger by walking together through shared experience. May you support one another and fully love one another in healthy ways through all your joys and moments of struggle. And may you find wholeness as you negotiate the meaningful ministering to and with each other in the service of the whole. Blessed be, and may you say together, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Not to diminish your expectations, but during this active installation, I don't think either one of us is going to walk on water.
But Art, I thought you told me where the stones were.
You will be finding out where the stones are for a long time to come, I hope. No right is more precious to a free congregation than that of choosing its own minister. By the same token, no right is more precious to a Unitarian Universalist minister than choosing the congregation they will serve. The coming together of congregation and minister assumes special significance when there is involved, as here, a great tradition of liberal leadership. It is with profound feeling, therefore, that we formally recognize the relationship now existing between the people of Bull Run Unitarian Universalist Congregation and the Reverend Charlotte Layman, who we have freely chosen and who has freely chosen us. Our choice is based not only on our heritage, but also upon the hopes and aspirations we hold for the future. This installation service symbolizes our dedication to new efforts. We affirm by this act the goals toward which we strive and the ideals by which we are sustained and strengthened. Will the members of the congregation please rise in body and or spirit and join in the following words. We cherish our congregation for its achievements through ministry, music, pastoral care, and social justice, and for its efforts to grow and strengthen in response to changing times and changing human needs. We celebrate its devotion to freedom, belief in the intrinsic dignity and worth of human personality, and its responsiveness to the desires and aspirations of its people. We cherish the vision of those who founded, nurtured, and progressively transformed our existence as a congregation. We cherish our congregation for all that it now has to give, the friendships it makes possible, the loyalties and common endeavors it fosters, the imagination and creativeness it stimulates, the comfort and solace it brings, the quickened sense of conscience it engenders, and the influence it has on children, youth, adults, and the wider community. Having thus expressed our love and concern for our congregation, we now entrust our shared ministry to you, the Reverend Charlotte Layman, confident that you share our feelings in full measure and that you will do all you are capable of to advance our mission as a safe place for seeking and service. We ask the infinite's blessing upon you. We offer you our honored and unfettered pulpit.
With joy and a deep sense of responsibility, I publicly make my commitment to the ministry to which you have called me. I look forward to the opportunities to know this congregation and its members better and more deeply. I covenant with you to help each other thrive, to seek the truth in love, and to dwell together in peace. I will cherish and cultivate ways of reason, freedom, and spiritual growth among you and with all people. May our shared ministry together cultivate justice, righteousness, love, and the spirit of life among this beloved community and with the whole of humanity.
We have chosen you, the Reverend Charlotte Layman, to be the minister of our congregation. We offer you a faith community, filled with the spirit of love and eager to live our calling to service in the world. Will you accept the responsibility of leading and guiding us in our mission?
I will, absolutely.
Will you preach with responsibility from a place of love for truth and freedom? Will you lead us in intelligent service for the common good? Will you serve us with integrity, with a spirit of acceptance, and with an emphasis on fostering relationships to the best of your ability?
I will, again, absolutely.
Then, by the power invested in me as a representative of this congregation, I now officially and joyfully install you as minister of the Bull Run Unitarian Universalist Congregation.
Thank you.
The congregation may be seated.
Will you join me now in the spirit of prayer? Spirit of life abundant, all around us are signs of new life. Buds popping out on dogwood branches, crocuses and daffodils springing up out of the soil, all in the midst of the still chilly days of early spring. Oh, how we give thanks for the promise and joy of this time of year when we bear witness to life, new and abundant again. And as if that weren't enough, Great Spirit, today we gather to celebrate and consecrate a new beginning right here in these walls. Our hearts open in joy and celebration to the promise and the hope that this new shared ministry between Reverend Charlotte and the Bull Run Unitarian Universalists brings. We give such thanks for the journeys that have led both Reverend Charlotte and Brew to this moment. We give thanks for the 38 years of Brew's ministry in Manassas and Prince William County. And we hold this liberal religious community in joyful hope as they begin the next chapter of their story with Reverend Charlotte. We give thanks for Reverend Charlotte's journey of ministry that today culminates in their first settled ministry. We give thanks for all that has come before this shared ministry and pray that the path forward for congregation and minister will be blessed with grace, courage, and the abundant fruits of a transformative love and justice. Holy energy pulsing through the entire web of life, may the buds outside be our teachers about how something new comes to life. May we remember that new life and growth require nurturing and the varied gifts of all the seasons to bloom. And so today we lift up the budding relationship between this minister and this congregation. May their interactions be characterized by a kindness, a patience, a willingness to be vulnerable, and an assumption of goodwill. May their shared ministry of love and justice outside of these walls grow out of their commitment to love and justice within these walls, such that beloved community spills abundantly out their doors, blessing and transforming the wider community. In the seasons ahead, may this very day, this installation, serve as a touchstone for BRU and Reverend Charlotte, a reminder of the covenant, the commitments, and the hopes that have been planted and now need tending, and whose fruits will ripen in their time. We pray these things with abiding trust that the spirit of life that energizes and sustains the universe is pulsing through us all, beckoning us ever on to cultivate an ever greater and expanding love in this world. Amen.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, I was doing some housework, folding laundry as it happens, and I was pondering what exactly I could offer to you about what it's like to serve a congregation, about what you'll need, about what you will have to offer and what it's like to serve a congregation. What could I have to offer Charlotte, I wondered, and I remembered. I remembered an experience I had many years back that seemed fitting. In my recalled memory, I was also folding laundry. My youngest son was 3 years old at the time. He walks in without a stitch of clothing on. He looks at me folding one of his shirts and he says, "Daddy, can you get me dressed?" And I said, "Sure." And immediately, I kid you not, he turned around and ran the opposite direction, saying, "Run away!" And I stood there thinking, what can I possibly tell anyone about what it's like to serve a congregation? William H. Murray assures us that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. I'm referring to a reading we haven't gotten to yet. You'll recognize it eventually, but you know the reading.
Yes.
The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. I have sometimes had moments in my life when I can corroborate William H. Murray's assertion in which providence shows up, and all that I need unfolds right there before me. And I have had other experiences when I thought I knew what was going to happen next, mm-hmm. what I needed to do, and discovered that providence had other plans.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our deep work is to trust providence.
Mm-hmm.
Now you, Charlotte, have a lot to offer. You are a person with many gifts. You have strengths to share with this congregation. You're a deep listener. You are a strong thinker. You are a responsible leader. Hold on to that. That's good stuff. It will help. There is something specific that you are called to offer, though. Mm. You are called to bring the message of love, hope, and courage. The message that no one is outside the circle. The message that grace and God's love are available to all, that none shall be cast aside or left behind, that sincere commitment will generate a response from providence. Mm-hmm. Whatever theological language you need to put around that so that the message can be heard, that's the message that you are called to deliver. And you are called to serve not these people, mm-hmm. but that message among these people. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that annoying minister's trick where I think that's so important, I'm going to say it twice.
Yep.
Charlotte, you are called to serve not these people, mm-hmm. but that message among these people. Mm-hmm. When you commit to serve this message, providence moves too. But beware, because providence can sometimes appear as resistance. Mm. The way forward does not always appear to be the way you think you're going to be going. Mm-hmm. It's important to know and name who and what you serve, to know where you're going, but be willing to listen to providence, to know your calling, that you may discern how providence is acting around you, because you're called to serve this message among these people. And the consequences of this message, the consequences are dramatic, and you must be prepared for it. Carrying this message of blessing and God's love and acceptance will compel a soul to respond to the hurt and the suffering in the world with a steady gaze, a tender hand, and a firm voice for justice. The consequences of this message will lead you to fall in love with this work and with these people, and it will singe your soul and it will break your heart. You will be called upon to do more than you can do, to give more than you can give, to offer more hope than you can possibly have within you to offer. And somehow, what you have will be enough. Somehow, what you have will provide manifold blessing to all that you touch. Commit yourself, and providence moves too. And the secret that you must learn again and again, the secret that all of us learn again, too often forget and stumble back into it again and again, is that you do not do this work alone. Yes, it will be your hands, your voice, your breaking heart, but never yours alone. You stand in a stream of those who have ministered here before you and those who are yet to come and all those who sit here among you. And their hands are your hands for the duration of this relationship here. Charlotte, my charge to you is to keep faith with your calling. My charge to you is to hold yourself open through the hurt and the promise, even when you really want to run in the opposite direction. To be open to the movement of providence. And I charge you to know the source of your calling and to stay tapped into the source of life that will keep you fed and nourished and keep you whole. Charlotte, may your ministry in this community be marked by faith, laughter, love, and power. Go well.
Thank you.
Hey, Charlotte, I'm going to talk to the congregation, but you can listen in, too.
Oh, good.
I bring you greetings from your neighbor, Accotink Unitarian Universalist Church. Doug has already told you what a wonderful congregation it is, your closest neighbor to whichever direction it is. I'm not sure about this part of the world. Accotink and Bull Run have enjoyed a friendship through almost 4 decades. Witnessing to Unitarian Universalism together, Accotink in Fairfax County, and Bull Run here in Prince William County. I'm very happy to be here. Usually when I'm actually in this neighborhood, I'm here to visit your neighbors. I'm a leader in VOICE. You all are members of the Virginia Organized for Interfaith Community Engagement. You are founding members of VOICE. And First Baptist right down the street is one of the leader organizations. And so oftentimes I'm in this neighborhood, and it's always great to be close by to you. Now, I gotta say, all of the speakers you've heard today have actually been offering a charge to the congregation. Have you noticed it? These inspirational words which you've received from the moment of the call to worship to just even now, which was the call, the charge to your minister, actually carried a lot in it for you. So what can I offer you here now? What's worth keeping you from the beautiful prayer and song to come, the reception, the good food, and the friends to follow? What can I possibly say to you that hasn't already been said? Well, I'm going to try to say something. One is, follow Reverend Charlotte's example. When she came here to Northern Virginia, she only knew a few people, but she reached out to her colleagues and joined a support group as well as the chapter. She reached out to interfaith partners to get to know them. She started making the effort of driving on 66 at the worst time of day to be with us, because she knew to be able to be in this ministry, she had to take care of those kind of connections that would give her strength and support and keep her centered. So one of the things I'm going to charge you with is that you all do the same thing. I want to see members of BRU at gatherings at other UU churches. I want to see the president meeting with other presidents and the board members meeting with other board members and the social justice advocates meeting with social justice folks. I want to see you, Bart, being a part of the community, the interfaith community, because it's when you find other people who also have done this really strange thing of giving your life to a nonprofit organization for something that's like not a product you can put your hands on. I mean, isn't it strange? You know, most people in America don't do it anymore. And very few people in Europe do it. But there are a lot of people in Northern Virginia doing it and in DC area. So connect with those folks and find out what gives them strength, and then you'll feel supported too. And the other thing I want to say is that you realize that this is something sacred. Yes, you can read a lot of books about how to do shared ministry well. There's a lot of books that have been written about it. But I want you to remember that this is sacred. What I want to tell you is that you are holding this thing in your hands. It's in your hands. It's not just a big day for Charlotte. We know that, right? It's a big day for that deeper calling that Reverend Taylor just spoke of. It's a big day for you to give thanks for her talents and her calling, but also for you to give thanks for your own. You hold something precious, and it's in your hands. There's an old tale that's been told frequently, and this is the way I was told it, and you may have heard it a different way, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it this way. There were some children who wanted to be a little impish and fool the wise woman in their village. And so they took a precious little bird, and they held it in their hands behind their back. And they came to the wise woman, and they said, "If you're so wise, tell us, what are we holding?" Well, she was very wise, and she did know how to listen deeply. And she had heard the soft sounds of wings fluttering, of a little bit of a bird song. And she said to them, "You hold something precious and gentle and fragile, like a bird." "So yes," said the children. She guessed that well. But then they said, "Ah, is the bird alive or dead?" And the woman understood that they were asking a very deep question, but a question more deep and precious and holy than they even realized. And she knew that whatever she told them, because they were imps, they were going to do the opposite. In other words, if she said, the bird is alive, they would sort of squish it and prove her wrong. And if she said the bird was dead, they would hold it out and prove her wrong. And they didn't quite understand what a precious thing that life was that they were holding. So instead of telling them, the wise woman said to them, I want you to know that what you're holding in your hands is the real truth. You have it in your hands, and I'll help you hold it gently, and together we'll see that truth. So the sacred beauty of this congregation's life, and even more, the sacred beauty of life and of the faith we have in life, it is in our hands. And it is particularly in this congregation's hands for Unitarian Universalism here in Manassas. In this congregation, you can choose, is this congregation precious thing alive? Is it beautiful? Is it ready to fly? Is it ready to be held with your minister? You hold that in your hands. You hold it. Can you hold it with your minister? A faith, an inheritance, a community of people, and yes, the shared ministry that you are beginning with Reverend Lehman is a sacred thing, a beautiful thing with wings and songs and beating hearts. You hold that precious thing in your hands, and now you have hands to help you. And you are the people who would decide if there is life here, if you can offer it to share with your new minister, if there is really a vitality here that can work and grow, to soar high, to rejoice, and to weep. The ministry is something you hold and you share with this new minister. So remember, here's another old thing that's been said many, many times, but I've never forgotten it. Great ministers don't make great congregations. Great congregations make great ministers. You can be great together. My charge to you is read all the words that have been spoken today, because they were all wonderful charges, and never forget that you and Reverend Lehman are sharing in something that is beautiful and sacred, and you hold it together in your hands. Blessed be.
Beloved community, we have given consent of the mind to the letter of this covenant. Now let us come together in the spirit of the covenant, laying on our hands and offering our heart's consent. As we begin, I invite you to place your hands over your heart. Feel its precious pulse. Feel, too, the beat of your spiritual heart and allow its compassion to fill your hands with warmth. Hands in service to the human spirit possess the power to bless, the power to heal, the power to comfort. Hands in service to our neighbor possess the power to transform, the power to strengthen, the power to liberate. We, the ministering hands of many religious traditions and of this community, unite in support of the Reverend Charlotte Layman, called to lead this congregation. And so I now invite Reverend Charlotte to step into the center. And I invite first our beloved Ahmadi Muslim sisters, along with Reverend Charlotte's mother, to come forward and form the inner circle, laying hands on Reverend Charlotte. We welcome you, sisters, as our special guests today. Thank you for being among us. Surrounding this inner circle, I invite the women clergy and women faith leaders to place a hand on the inner circle. From here, I invite the remaining clergy and faith leaders to place a hand on the shoulder of a colleague in the second circle as we begin to form connected lines, if possible, spanning out into the congregation. Clergy and faith leaders, you represent the blessing of the ancient and living tradition of colleagues in whose line we stand. Now I invite members and friends of this congregation forward, and all who wish to participate in this solemn celebration. Place a hand on the shoulder of the one in front of you, connecting to the lines of blessing that will ripple over Reverend Charlotte. All of you represent the ancient line of congregations who join with you in a living tradition.
Thank you. As promised, a reading from William H. Murray. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamt would have come his way. I learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. I would ask that you remain standing for the recessional hymn, and please keep the aisles clear.
Dearly beloved congregation, Bull Run Unitarian Universalists, you have heard today the multiple charges to all of us to be what we can be in the world, to set a vision for the future here in Manassas as a liberal spiritual community that includes all and welcomes all. May we have a long shared ministry together. Amen. You'd think I had memorized this yet. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Thank you.
Amen.